Our scripture is from the book of Ephesians, reading from chapter 1, verses 11 through 23. A good amount of this is Paul telling the Ephesians how he is praying for them. So let us think about this while I am reading this scripture. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are in God's possession, to praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and in every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way.
Let's pray. Oh God, I pray that your spirit would open our hearts and our minds to this instruction from your word, the Bible. Lord, may we just continue to soak in more of your truth, that we would live for you and honor you, and that we would enjoy life. In Christ we pray. Amen. Predestination. I don't know that it's a daily household word that we talk about. Seems like I've been having some conversations with people about it lately, and knowing about predestination, which we're going to cover a little bit this morning and do some more of the scripture search next Sunday. Predestination. Who's in charge of life? Are you in charge of your life, or what role does God have in the direction of your life? So I'm talking about predestination this morning, but just last Sunday, somebody asked me, how did you get to Defiance College? As I thought about that, that's a great setup for predestination. As I have been asked a number of times throughout my ministry here at St. John's, how did you end up at Defiance College? My stock answer is, Defiance gave me more money than Heidelberg College. I thought it was as simple as that. Once I had made my final decision to attend Defiance College, in the spring of 1980, I obviously had no clue beyond that how my life journey would work out. Having had exposure to the world of outdoor ministry at Pilgrim Hills Church Camp that same summer of 1980, upon arriving at Defiance, I changed my major from accounting to Christian education ministry. 5 years later, after taking a couple of years off of college, I went back to Defiance and discovered that my church history professor was Reverend Gary R. Hodges. I had known Gary for several summers because I worked on staff at Pilgrim Hills Camp for those 6 summers. So when I showed up in class, I recognized him and he recognized me. was it my choice to attend Defiance College? Was it my decision to be on summer staff at Pilgrim Hills Church Camp? Was it my decision to change college majors? Was it my decision, or what hand did the Lord have in directing the course of my life? Did God predetermine for me all of those choices? When I think about such direction in a person's life, I always refer to the one piece of poetry that has ever spoken to me, which I first read in a graduation gift from the summer of 1980. The gift of God to each of us is life itself, this bubbling, restless force that churns inside us, that seeks expression and direction like a rushing stream. Sometimes formed by circumstances, as a stream is by its banks, but never contained by them, moving, changing form, ducking under obstacles and splashing over them. My gift from God, life. And how twice gifted I am if the stream of my life has been given direction by the meaning of Jesus Christ. Was deciding upon Defiance College really only my choice? How much was my decision impacted upon God's call upon my life? When you look back over your life, do you ponder, do you wonder about such things in God's hand in directing your life? I hope so. It's insightful. Predestination, a divine plan. Here is the Evangelical Dictionary definition of predestination. Predestination is a doctrine in Christian theology speaking to the divine foreordaining of all that will happen, especially with regard to the salvation of some and not of others. Is there a divine plan that dictates who will be saved and who will be lost? Predestination. I read of a pastor who shared the following account when considering this topic. He wrote, "During my basic training in the South African Air Force, we were out on a field exercise for about a week. It was bitterly cold and rained during the entire period. But shortly after we arrived in the field, the corporal in charge had our unit line up outside. You and you and you," he shouted, as he randomly picked several of us, "you go and dig pit toilets in the field. The rest of you go back inside your tents." So off we went to go and dig pit toilets in the cold and the rain, while the rest of the unit went into their tents to get warm. Many people think of God as someone a little like my old corporal. They see God as an unconcerned deity who sits on a throne in heaven, and he randomly assigns some to heaven and others to hell for no good reason. He says, as it were, "You and you and you, you go to Hades. The rest of you go to heaven." This is a distortion of how God acts. Let me read that definition one more time. Predestination is a doctrine in Christian theology speaking to the divine foreordaining of all that will happen, especially with regard to the salvation of some and not of others. Foreordaining, everything determined in advance. God has ordained everything that will happen throughout history. A key passage speaking of foreordaining is Romans 8, 29 and 30. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he may be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. The dilemma of predestination, the concern people have, it pits God's sovereignty against human free will. Is God sovereign? What about our free will to make our plans and our choices? Did God determine for me Defiance College, Pilgrim Hills, Reverend Gary Hodges? What decisions and circumstances in your own life cause you to wonder such things? Now, I just read from Romans 8, 29 and 30, but I also want to read verse 28 and then those two verses again. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. That is important. Those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8, 28, which is often well known. But again, verse 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And then the rest of that verse. We can conclude from this passage in Romans 8 that God does not call everyone. God does not predestine everyone. God does not foreknow everyone. God's foreknowledge speaks to a sense of intimacy and a close personal calling he has with, what's the qualifier? Those who love him. Those who love him. This passage also reveals the goal and the purpose of salvation, to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, that same Saul that stood there at the stoning of Stephen, the Apostle Paul, the author of Ephesians, Paul wrote his letter to the Ephesians to put forth a vision of God's sovereign plan. A sovereign plan, including God's grand design for the church and for his world. God's grand design. God's divine plan. Ephesians 1, verses 9 and 10. And God made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. God's plan of salvation is to bring all under one head, Jesus Christ. And then as we read Ephesians 1, 11 through 23, I want to go back again to verses 4 and 6. In that expression, in love. In love. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In love. In Ephesians, Paul is emphasizing the loving nature of predestination. God has a positive intention in his work of predestination. God wants to save all because he loves all. And so that's the predestination that we see through Jesus Christ. And he says, for those through Christ, we have to come through Christ to be received into God's family by adoption. Roman law in those days, an adopted son enjoyed the same status and the same privilege as a biological son, to be brought in. And we have to remember the character of God, because God has an ultimate plan. He has an ultimate goal expressed in verse 10, to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, Jesus Christ. And Christians are chosen as the heirs of God. Predestination, part number one. God's love, God's positive love, God's positive nature. As we think about our lives, can you look back and see where God has led you and directed you? I could spend years talking about the individuals of this congregation that God has led me through at various points in my ministry. And it's appropriate to sit back on a Sunday afternoon or maybe a Sunday evening when it's raining once again to take some time to think about how has God directed you in your life. That's the setup for part two when we talk about some of the confusion about God's ultimate plan in predestination. Amen.
Please stand if you are able and let us sing our sermon hymn. It is Thine is the Glory. It is found on page number 227 of your red hymnal, if you wish to follow along there.
Let's bow before the Lord in prayer. Lord, in our times of worship, we do seek to glorify you. And Lord, through the power and the infusion of your Holy Spirit in our daily lives, in worship and at work, at rest, even in sleep, may what we be thinking, what we be doing, bring you glory. Lord, we thank you for the creation that you have blessed us with to be stewards of. A creation, the natural world, the people within that natural world, the activities of life, careers and education. Lord, we pray that in each and every activity, having confessed Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we pray for the power, the authority, the courage, the strength, the wisdom and the knowledge to glorify you with our thoughts and with our actions, with our ways of service and our avenues of love. Lord, we do thank you for the written word, the Bible. Lord, help us. Help us to dig deep into the scriptures. That when we have questions, questions of faith, questions of predestination, Lord, reveal to us your truth. Guide us and direct us in your path of life, that we, your humble servants, would honor you. Lord, we pray for everyone listed in our list of concerns and joys. We pray for those people, those situations that are in our hearts, our minds, that have gone unspoken. We thank you for moments of healing. We praise you for trials that teach us to rely on you. Even in the hard times, Lord, may we see afterwards how you have directed us and how you have guided us, how you have instructed us. Lord, we pray for we as a church, both here at St. John's and Archbold and around the world, that we would take advantage of every opportunity to proclaim your grace and your love, to worship you and to honor you. And Lord, now hear us as we pray together, united in the words of our Lord.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
One way that we worship God is through stewardship, the giving of our time, the giving of our talents, and the giving of our funds. So at this time, I invite our ushers to come forward and receive our morning tithes and offerings for the furthering of the church on earth.
Thank you. thank you for these gifts given by your people. Now may they be used for your kingdom, whether it be for staff here at St. John's, whether it be for equipping others, for investing in our children and our community, as Youth for Christ shared with us this morning. May it all be for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
At this time, let us sing our closing hymn. It is Because He Lives. It is found on page number 213 of your red hymnal. Please remain standing for the spoken benediction, and then our benediction and song. It's called Sanctuary. We will be singing it twice. The first time, Lynn will accompany us, and the second time, we will sing this a cappella. So let us sing Because He Lives.
Thank you.
God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.